This is the Guitar Noise Podcast, Episode 7. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Noise Podcast. Today I talk to the legendary guitarist, Steve Stevens. Steve has been Billy Idol's guitarist for over 30 years now, but he has also contributed to a number of famous tracks along the way, including Michael Jackson's Dirty Diana. Steve has also had success with his solo albums, his latest being Memory Crash, and collaborations such as Derek Sherinian's solo album Oceana, released last year, and then of course his side projects Flamenco A Go-Go and Atomic Playboys. I caught up with Steve a day before he was due to head off to Europe on tour with Billy Idol. Hi Steve, thanks very much for joining me today on the Guitar Noise Podcast.
My pleasure, John.
So you've had a very busy year. We've been trying to catch up for a long time now. The start of the year, you were talking to me about you're about to head into the studio for a new Billy Idol record. Was that the first thing that happened this year?
Yeah, we've been writing for quite a while, and which it's a little bit different this time because Billy is working on an autobiography. So we're trying to have the record reflect the autobiography and also come out at the same time. So, you start thinking in terms of, well, does this song match to chapter 5 or chapter 6? And so, but it looks like his book won't come out until next year, so they're going to hold the record for next year.
Right, okay. And you also mentioned that you were going to start work on a new solo album. Did you get a chance to start that?
I haven't. I got pulled into this Rock and Roll All Stars thing, so we went down to South America with that. That's a group of a bunch of other knuckleheads, so we went down to South America, and now it looks like we may be coming your way. I think in around October now.
Well, that's very exciting because I've just been sort of checking out the website recently, and for those that don't know, the Rock and Roll All Stars is a collection of guys like you got Gene Simmons, Joe Elliott, Matt Sorum, Duff McKagan.
Right. Yeah.
It's a huge list of names, isn't it? That are in the show.
Yeah, I mean, it makes for a really, really good show. The set list is like all the absolute favorites of each band member, and it just so happened that when we went to South America with it, everyone's schedule had opened up. And so we're going to do it again, I think, in October for Australia, possibly Japan. The core band is always myself, Matt, Duff, and Gilby. And then the other guest artists are, really largely going to depend on who's available at that time. But we're speaking to some pretty interesting people. So, once again, it'll be a good show.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. And whose idea was this? Was this you that started out this?
No, I can't take credit for it. It was Matt Sorum's idea, although Gene Simmons would like to take credit for it, but really it was Matt. So Matt is one of the original members of Camp Freddy, which is like an all-star band based here in LA. And Dave Navarro is one of the founders of Camp Freddy, but since he's been out on the road with Jane's Addiction, I've been filling in. And then Matt got the idea to take it on the road with a similar idea, all-star type of thing, and asked me if I'd be interested. And now I'm looking at, another tour with him.
Oh, that's excellent. I'm very happy to hear that you're coming to Australia, well, possibly. So looking forward to that. So, aside from that, you also did a very interesting gig earlier this year, and I wondered if this had tied in with the Rock and Roll All-Stars thing, because it was with Sebastian Bach, wasn't it, from Skid Row, at the Iridium.
That's right, yeah. Originally, since Les Paul passed away, the Les Paul Trio has continued their Monday night gig at the Iridium, which is where Les has had his residency for, I don't know, at least 15 years, I believe. So they kept that going, and now they've started adding different musicians, guest guitarists to come in on Monday. And I did that initially. And then the owners of the club asked me if I'd, come in and play 3 days before the Les Paul Trio. So I brought with me Pete Thorne, who's a good buddy of mine, who's just an incredible guitar player. Works with Don Henley and Chris Cornell and Melissa Etheridge. So he went with me, and then I had just done a Camp Freddy show with Sebastian Bach and asked him if he'd come to New York. So that was the core band, and then Anton Figg and Neil Jason with the rhythm section.
Yeah, it was awesome. They've put these videos up on their actual YouTube channel, haven't they, as well, for the club?
Yeah, I'm going to speak for them a bit. If I do it again, they've got to make those things look a little better. But they are up there.
Pete Thorne, he's one of my sort of favourite players at the moment. I think he's such an immense player. I suppose, really, he's a session musician, isn't he? But his solo album is fantastic.
Yeah, he's great. We did the first time I worked with Pete was for there's a Tone Merchant store, and we did a show there for around the NAMM show, not this past year, but the year before, and I said, look, I'm going to put together a set list of the craziest stuff, and so we did King Crimson. 21st Century Schizoid Man, and then I actually listened to it and I realized, man, I have to learn this thing. So I called Pete up. I said, hey, have you started to work on the Crimson tune? And he said, yeah, I know it. And I said, I figured you would. Would you make me a video lesson? So he actually made me a video lesson of how to play it. Me and my mouth. But he's just an unbelievable player and can do all that Van Halen stuff. So when we played the Iridium, I said, you have to play Hot for Teacher. So that was one of the things we did with Pete.
And speaking of Tone Merchants, I assume that's the same. Venue is the same as the shop that sells the Freeman amps and etc.
Yeah, that's the one. That's a newly opened one. That's in North Hollywood. The original Tone Merchants is, I forgot where it is. It's about 45 minutes away from Hollywood.
Okay, so you've been using some of Dave Friedman's amps for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, Dave has done my live guitar rig for the last at least 10 years.
Oh, okay.
And I was touring. I've tried lots of different amps. At one time I used Randall. And I think when I first hooked up with Dave, I was still using the PV5150s that Eddie Van Halen had given me.
Right.
And little by little, Dave said, really, you're the best tone that in his estimation I had was when I was using my Plexis. And I said, yeah, but they're finicky, they're not really roadworthy. They're great in the studio, but to take them on the road is a nightmare. And he said, well, what if I built you one up to modern specs? And so he built me one, and then we started tweaking that amp, and now I have two Friedmans. And then the idea came along to actually do a Steve Stevens model, which is basically the amp that I've been touring with for 2 years, plus an added clean channel, which is like a Fender Twin on steroids. For the clean channel, I like it super clean, and then if I want to kind of dirty it up, I'll usually use a distortion pedal or something.
Yeah.
So it's a two-channel amp, and it's been road tested and tweaked, much the same as I did with Bare Knuckles. I'll get out on the road and make suggestions and, hone in on what I think is the perfect amp for me. And if other people dig it, that's great. It's a Marshall based amp with, as I said, a Fender Twin second channel. And it's just, I've recorded it now with it now, and, it's hand wired and it's super reliable, sounds amazing. And with Dave's sort of, tone shaping and also the way that he wires a master volume, you're really able to get a good sound at a reasonable volume with it. And the one thing about my original Plexis is you have to turn them up so damn loud. It's great when we play large venues, but sometimes you don't always want that. So the best endorsement I can give anyone is that, that's what I use. And if people did, dig my sound, then, you know, that is exactly what I use.
And are these actually available yet, or are you still working on the actual finished model?
The aesthetics are still being worked out. We just got in the plastic, the faceplate panels, and then I sort of wanted. I had found these aluminum anodized knobs. So the thing looks like a monster. It harkens back to the early Marshall days. You know, it's like an offset chassis, but the front panel is all anodized aluminum, and it looks the way it sounds, which is pretty heavy.
I think a lot of people will really appreciate having that extra channel on a plexi for the Fender cleans, though. I think that's a very nice addition.
Yeah, because, you know, during the course of a Billy Idol show, I still have to do things like Flesh for Fantasy, which are, you know, there's a fair amount of clean stuff in the Idol catalog. So, you know, I do need to have a two-channel amp.
Yeah, sure. Before this, then, were you using the custom audio amplifiers for the clean sounds?
Yeah, I mean, I still travel with the custom audio, and I use that for some of this. There's some send and receive stuff which is set up specifically for like there's a Roland slicer, a Boss slicer pedal, which is locked to MIDI time code, and I use that for some of the newer. There's some new Billy Idol stuff that we're playing, and I've been, you know, tinkering around with kind of tempo locked effects, things like that. And then there's a through zero flanger made by Paradox, I believe. That's also on the send and receive of the custom audio amp. So that's like an extra. I use that amp for super cleans, and also for any of my really out there affected guitar stuff.
I like the fact that you are not sort of endorsed by any sort of single product, so you have plenty of guitars that you can take on the road that you don't have to lock into one brand. Do you know what guitars you'll be taking out on this tour?
I take about 5 Les Pauls with me. We do a couple of tunes in drop tuning, so I have to have a guitar set up for that. And then for some of the back catalog stuff is, you know, for the when we do Generation X stuff, I like to have Les Pauls, which are really, really low output, you know, PAF style pickups. I use like Bare Knuckle, I think it's their Mule set for that. And then for all the, you know, more traditional Billy Idol stuff from Rebel Yell on, I use all of the, you know, the Rebel Yell Bare Knuckle pickup stuff. So there's about, I think on this tour, four or five Les Pauls, a couple of Sur guitars. There's a Sur Modern that I use for anything that has the, you know, Wang bar on it, like Rebel Yell and Blue Highway. And then what else? The Godin, all of my acoustic stuff is Godin. So there's a steel string Godin, which also triggers the Roland guitar synth. And then I do an unaccompanied nylon solo, which has a Godin nylon string guitar on it. And then for things like Flesh of Fantasy, I'm triggering horn stabs and things like that. So I use the Godin LGXT for that. So, yeah, I mean, it ends up being about 8 guitars.
Right, okay. Have you received your new guitar from Nags yet? I've seen the photos up on Facebook.
Right, yeah, that's the most recent guitar I'm taking with me. That guitar sounds fantastic. It's really, really nice. Different, you know, a bit more modern than a Les Paul. It has a lot of top and bottom, as opposed to the Les Pauls, which are, you know, very, very mid-range focused guitars. So, and I didn't, you know, Peter Wolf is a long-term friend of mine, and I didn't really know. He's been an artist rep even when I was playing Hamer guitars, and he approached me about Nags. I didn't know that Joe Nags was over at PRS. So he sent me this guitar, and I just kind of fell in love with it. And then and the one that they sent me had a much slimmer body than what I'm used to. So I suggested making it as, you know, make me a guitar as thick as a Les Paul and a little bit chunkier neck, a little bit different. I put the Schaller Da Vinci tuners on it, and that's the guitar that I'm taking with me. It's really, really nice. Obviously, it's a handcrafted guitar, and has a lot of love and care put into it, plays really, really well, and I'm really happy with it. So I hope to be doing some more things with them, yeah.
Yeah, I love the finish on it as well. It's the Black Onyx, I think, isn't it, that you went for?
Yeah, they're beautiful guitars, man. They're just like, they're immaculate. Everything about it is just so right, you know.
Very cool. You know how you do your unaccompanied solo is all on your nylon string?
Sure.
That's all using your sort of flamenco influences, isn't it, in that solo?
Right.
How did you get into flamenco?
Well, as a kid, I started playing guitar when I was about 7 and a half, and I didn't get an electric guitar till I was 13. So all that time I was playing acoustic bass stuff, and I really didn't identify. You know, I'm quite a bit older, but at that time, you know, the guitar teachers wanted to teach you. I mean, the most adventurous thing I could find a teacher to teach me was like a Beatles song or something. So I couldn't identify with these teachers. They just seemed like kind of fuddy-duddy, you know, whatever. And then and I went away to a summer camp, and the guitar teacher there was a flamenco guitarist, and he had escaped the Nazis in the Second World War. He's from Romania. And the amount of passion that this guy had for playing guitar and instilling in his students how music basically saved his life and meant everything to him. I just fell in love with his personal story, and then the actual technical prowess. Whenever he'd pick up the guitar and play, it was unbelievable, and it seemed so far ahead of what, you know, folk guitar players were playing. So I kind of, you know, just kind of, out of respect to him, became really enamored with flamenco music. And then my parents would bring me to see flamenco dance companies and things, and so I think as a young kid I just kind of gravitated towards this passionate music. And then I finally got a chance to see Paco de Lucía play, and then it was all over, you know. It was just like, oh my God, this guy's unbelievable. So I don't profess to say I'm a flamenco purist. I don't play with my fingers. I listen to the right stuff, you know, and I just try and emulate it and try and make it my own. And I have a couple of really beautiful flamenco guitars, a Ramirez, and one built by a guy named Pedro de Miguel, which is a beautiful contemporary flamenco guitar. So when it came time to do an unaccompanied solo with Billy Idol, I've already seen Eddie Van Halen do his solo. How are you going to better that, you know? That's about as good as it gets. So I thought, why don't I do it on flamenco? That's something that at least I do that's unique to my whole scene, and people seem to really get it, whether they're into guitar or not. It's entertaining.
And for anyone listening who hasn't heard it, you have your own solo album that is flamenco, don't you, as well?
Yeah, Flamenco Go-Go. But it has largely electronic, grooves and rhythms underneath it. And, I had finished up a tour with Vince Neil, and as I mentioned, we had opened up for Van Halen, and it's just like I wanted to reconnect with playing acoustic guitar, so hence doing Flamenco Go-Go.
Is there anything else that you want to mention about the Billy Idol tour or anything before we finish up?
Well, I know that this tour is the first time that I'm going to personally be doing meet and greets. So if you go to my Facebook, if you want to let people know, we're offering a meet and greet package where they can meet me after soundcheck and get some T-shirts and all that kind of stuff, and we can talk guitars. I'll talk to people about anything. Yeah, I've never done a meet and greet package before, and it's kind of cool to actually meet fans and get to know, you know, people that have been listening to Billy Idol music all their lives, and now some of them bring their kids and stuff. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's been a long time, hasn't it, since you started with Billy Idol?
Yeah, well over 30 years now. So
that's amazing. There's not many people in this industry who can sort of say that. So
no, I mean, it's, you know, even when we briefly didn't work together, it was we always respected each other, and it was never any trash talking, and You know, I just there's a certain thing that happens when he and I are on stage together that for me doesn't happen with other singers. You know, it's I guess it's the fact that we have, you know, written these songs together and there's a certain chemistry and a certain kind of symbiotic relationship that happens musically, and we do respect each other a lot, and we're still friends. So there you go.
So thank you very much for joining me today. I know that it's taken a long time to get this together because you have a very busy life, but
because I'm an asshole, that's all. No, but the listeners should know that I contacted you. I didn't know anything. You know, all I knew is that you had this really cool guitar site with the best demos, and it was, your site is really easy to navigate. I just thought, well, who is this guy? He's got a really cool guitar site. So keep up the good work, John. I think your love and your passion for guitar is really evident in what you're doing. So I as a punter, you know, just reading up on the latest gear, I really appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, thank you very much. I've been, you know, a fan of yours since I started playing guitar in the late 80s, so it really means a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Great. And hopefully I'll be there with Rock and Roll All-Stars in October, and we'll get you down to a show.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, look forward to it. All right, thank you very much, Steve.
All right, thanks, John.
Have fun in Europe. Is it Europe you go off to with Billy Idol?
Yeah, we start in Moscow. Start in Moscow and finish in Portugal. So every place in between.
Fantastic. Have fun.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Well, that brings us to the end of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And as always, make sure you check out guitarnoise.com. That's guitarnoise with a Z. You'll find a link over on the right-hand side, both for the podcast feed and for the podcast category, where you'll always find an archive of all the recent podcasts on the site. You'll also find this podcast on iTunes now if you search for the Guitar Noise Podcast. You can also find Guitar Noise on Twitter at Guitar Noise, and of course on Facebook, facebook.com/guitarnoise. That's Guitar Noise, all one word, and don't forget it's a Z, not an S. Thanks for listening, and I hope you join me next time on the Guitar Noise Podcast.